Welcome to the Ignite Your Power podcast, where you will receive power-filled content that will help you to discover your purpose, overcome your obstacles, validate your worth, embrace your uniqueness, and strengthen your resilience. This is Joycelyn Lewis, and I am your host. Be ignited. Welcome, Paula Hollingsworth. I am so excited about having this conversation with you, because I absolutely love the Enneagram.
Well, thank you. Yeah, me too. I appreciate you having me.
Oh my goodness, I absolutely love it. I was first introduced to the Enneagram in seminary for a retreat. It was kind of like we had this retreat towards the end of the year, and when we were about to graduate, actually, and I had never heard of the Enneagram, but I love any tool that helps me to become more self-aware. And I actually would almost want to say that the Enneagram is probably the best one, because it just gives you so much insight into how we're wired, I guess, in some ways, but you'll explain more about that. But I really am glad to be able to have this conversation with you, because you use this, you're a certified Enneagram coach, you offer biblical counseling, psychology is your background, but because you can bring that biblical side to this, to the Enneagram, is one of the reasons why I'm really excited to be able to talk to you, because I know that you include your faith as a part of it. And so I want us to just dive in into to get started. Share with us, well, before we start, you know, is there anything that you would like to share with us just about yourself before, you know, I know you have a story of like how you were introduced to the Enneagram.
True. I don't know how far you want me to go back, but I've been married for 35 years to my husband, Russ, who got two grown children.
Nice.
Joel's a police officer, and he's married to Brittany for about 5 years. And then Kaylee is she's my daughter, and she's the one that introduced me to CrossFit, which is ridiculous for somebody my age, and the Enneagram.
Wow.
We both serve on staff at our church, she and I. She's in a totally different department. I don't know what you call it. Job, let's put it that way. And then I'm in counseling, of course, like you said, part-time still, which I enjoy. I like having my own schedule and being able to schedule time for me for, you know, off time, rest time, that kind of stuff.
So once your daughter introduced you to the Enneagram, what made the Enneagram, what about it resonated with you and for you?
Okay, so we were out getting ice cream as a family, all of us. And I don't know how she brought it up, but she said, you really need to take this little quiz. And it's called the Enneagram, and it's about personality. So I perked up on that because I'm very interested in things, personality. So I think we all pretty much took it right then and there. And it was like a 10-minute test. And you know, mine came up as type one, which is the moral perfectionist. And I was like, no, that can't be right. Like, no, try again. I don't want that one. And then everybody else, you know, my daughter had already gotten hers, and it was like, yeah, that's right on. That's who she is. Totally.
And that is one of the things that I think is beneficial, which I know you'll talk about, to knowing your type, especially in relationships, because it just helps. It's just another tool that you can use to become more informed and more aware of, you know, how you can even interact with one another, and even the why of doing and saying and being the way we are. So with that, I would love for you to just, you know, explain a little bit about the Enneagram, just you know, what is it? Because we've been talking, but what is the Enneagram? And, you know,
so it's a system of personality types. And it says that out in the world, they have found 9 types of personalities. And I know that sounds like, well, there's got to be way more than that. But the way it works is you have your core type. And so that's just who you are. The Enneagram is just a system that teaches that there are 9 types of personalities in the world. And that sounds very limited, but the way it works is it starts off from your core fears, desires, weakness, core longings. The reason that the Enneagram was so good for me is that it helps you to figure out, you know, why people do what they do. It helps you to figure out yourself first, for one thing. Being a type one, we're super hard on ourselves, very perfectionistic, which is something that I try not to be all the time, because we can't be perfect. And nobody's, you know, asking us to be, except for ourselves. And so we're hard on ourselves. We don't give grace to ourselves very easily, very judgmental. And so that kind of leaks out on other people. And so being self-aware, you can say, okay, that is not who I want to be. So I'm not going to let that leak out on these people. And then knowing what type they are, like if they're doing something and it's just, you know, driving you crazy or whatever, you can say, okay, I understand they're this type and that's why they're doing this. They don't see the things that I see. You know, they don't see probably anything that I see, and they're focused on what they see. And so I just, it helps you to give more grace to people. And then especially to yourself, which it has to start inside you first.
I think that that's so true, because I think that when we are self-aware, and then when we are aware of like someone else's Enneagram number or personality type, or then it actually helps us to not be offended, you know, to where we can say, you know, whatever they are maybe saying, seeing, not experiencing, that it is not necessarily personal for us. You know, it's the way that they filter their world, just like we filter the world a certain way. Not everyone sees things the way we do. And I think that there is kind of this illusion in the world that's like, everybody is like me, or everybody should be like me. And when we realize, you know, when we realize that everybody's not like me, and, you know, because of that, you know, that diversity, really, that diversity of personalities is actually what makes, brings the flair and this, you know, variety to various relationships, to the workplace, to the body of Christ. You know, even in scripture, it specifically talks about us having all these gifts, right? But we have gifts, but, you know, the hand can't do what the foot does, and the foot doesn't do what the mouth does. And that's, to me, is just like with the Enneagram, you know, it allows us to kind of see where, really where we are and where other people are. And like you say, it allows us to extend grace to ourselves and to other people. And then I think it also maybe wonder if it allows us to confirm in other people their gifts and their, you know, the good sides of them, the good parts.
I think it does. I do. And that's it. I hadn't even thought about it that way, because I think, well, I don't think there's like gifts that are specific to certain types. You didn't say that. Right. I'm just saying that thinking out loud, because I haven't thought about that. And I think even looking into your type, who you are, may help you to lean into whatever gifts that you have from the Holy Spirit. May help you confirm that, like you said. I think so.
It can be used in so many different ways, which, you know, we're kind of talking about those benefits. I think one of the other things that is so helpful is the core fear, kind of like discovering what is your core fear.
What are you always trying to avoid?
The thing that we're avoiding, that's the part I think that really brings about self-awareness. So with that, I would love for you to kind of, with your family, you know, with their numbers, you've gone and kind of given us a little snippet each. But could you start at 129 just kind of give us a little snippet of what each type, about each type?
A little snippet. Oh, I've got a cheat as usual.
I mean, just whatever you want to share, but yeah.
So, well, I already went through me, but type one's the moral perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Our total core fear, and it makes me laugh, but it's true, is being wrong or bad or evil or inappropriate, all those. I mean, and it's so true, but you don't think you're doing it all the time, but you are. So the opposite of that is we want to have integrity, want to be good. The emotion we deal with the most is anger, but it's internal. Sometimes it comes out, but it's usually on ourselves. So type two, they are the supportive advisor or the helper, which is the one I like the best. They are... that just describes them to a T for me, the helper. They're afraid of being rejected and unwanted or just being worthless. So the thing they like the most or the thing they're striving for is being appreciated, loved, and wanted, which I feel like everybody can say, well, yeah, I want that too. All of us do. But that's their core, at their core. And so the thing, the weakness that they deal with is pride. And it's kind of like, if you know someone like this, then you'll totally get it. But they are, I don't know if the word is ashamed. They don't want to ask for help because they don't want to be seen as needy. And it's like, it's the worst thing they think. If I have to ask for help, even if they need it desperately, they just fight it. They're like, no, I don't want to bother anybody. I'm going to just handle it myself or whatever. So skipping on to type three, the successful achiever. Okay, so the type three successful achiever or producer, which is the word that I think is the best, they're afraid of being exposed as incompetent. They are fighting against failure all the time. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to let themselves fail. So the thing that they're striving for is having a high status. They want to be admired, successful, valuable, all that. And so their core weakness is deceit. And it's not like being a liar. So don't think that. It's just deceiving yourself. Four, and that's your type.
That's me.
A romantic individualist. And their core fear, being inadequate, emotionally cut off, mundane, defective, flawed, or insignificant. So their core desire, being unique, special, and authentic, or being real. You know, that's what I hear a lot from people. And so their weakness is envy. And it's not about being jealous or envious, really. It's feeling that you're tragically flawed and that something is missing. And so you'll see that so-and-so has something and you just think, well, I don't possess that. So, you know, I'm lacking that. And so type five, the investigative thinker, their core fear makes me laugh too, because I can't imagine this, but their core fear is being annihilated, invaded, not existing. And I think the best way to make that sound more real is, they don't want to be thought of as ignorant or incapable. So the thing they strive to do is being capable, incompetent. So they're always searching for that knowledge so they'll know what they need to know. And so their core weakness, avarice. And I didn't know what that meant either when I first heard it. But it's feeling that you lack inner resources, and that too much interaction with others will lead you to depletion. So you need your me time to recharge, really. It's not that you don't have to be an introvert, and you don't have to be like, you know, that you don't like people. but you just need some time to recharge after you've been with a lot of people for a while.
And I will say this, which I know we won't get into this today because it's a lot, but I'm a 4 with the 5 wing. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's a good combo. It is.
So, you know, I totally can relate. Do you have, just because I did use the word wing, do you have a definition of what a wing is so people can at least know that?
So it's, your wings are the numbers directly to the left or the right of your number. So you're a 4, you could have a 3 wing and a 5 wing. You could, you know, either or. I've heard it said, I've read it actually, that some people say that the first half of your life, you're in one side of your wing, the second half, you're in the other. I've also heard people say that it's like salt and pepper. And so that means you're just kind of seasoning your core type with the ones on the either side. So I feel like you can go to either side, depending on what you're needing for the day. When you're aware of it, I believe you could do that. And I think it takes being aware and practicing that and, you know, noticing maybe what you're lacking. And maybe I need to dip inside, you know, into that 9 side for me. Because I'm a hardcore 2 wing. And I'm trying, you know, to be more peaceful and, you know, being able to see all the colors, not just seeing the black and the white, and being so judgy, you know, because the 9 can see everybody's situation and they're just really good at that kind of stuff. So I try to go over there, but it's very hard for me to switch back and forth, but I'm getting there. I'm learning.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a learned thing.
I really focused on the 3. Oh, I haven't really even read the 3, and I probably could, because there are some times that I might need the super achiever side. I just had a real aha moment around that.
Oh, when good. We were
talking about the 3. I was like, oh, I probably, like, I've never thought about that. You need, you know, throughout your day, you may need, like, I might need to tap into the 5 or the 4 or the 3, whatever I'm doing. So that's totally really good. Go on to the 6.
Okay, so type 6 is the loyal guardian. Their fear is fear itself. And that, I'm not laughing. I am laughing because that makes me laugh. I don't know. Because I get it. I totally get that. Fear itself, being without support, security, or guidance. And that's the things they're always trying to have. So that's their, what they go to every time. They're just working on having security and guidance and support. And so their core weakness is anxiety. They're always scanning the horizon just to, you know, see what could happen, what might happen. They try to project negative outcomes. So like worst case scenario thinking is kind of what they're characterized with. The good thing about that, though, I think it's their superpower when they tap into it correctly and aren't being afraid of it. They have a plan for what they can do if this happens. So you need these people. You need these people on your team, in your family, close friends. And you just need to talk to them sometimes and say, hey, what are you seeing? What's coming up?
I have a cousin who's a 6, and we were actually talking about that. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how she's got kids and, you know, a husband. And she was talking about how she has like gas masks and she's got like all these things prepared for in the event that anything catastrophic occurs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is totally a 6. Like
that's totally a 6.
Like having, and I never thought about, like, that's another aha moment that you gave me around, like, if you want to try to figure out what to do, you might want to ask a 6.
Ask them. What would you do if this, you know, just talking, but what would you do if this, if this happens? Yeah,
I love that's their superpower.
Like, I think it is.
You know, that you are saying, like, again, another reason why it's good to know what people's types are, because now I'm like, oh yeah, I can tap into that with her. You know, like, okay, girl. But I'm also wondering, Go ahead.
No, what no you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was also wondering, though, about this whole, because they fear fear.
Yeah.
I wonder if sixes tend to gravitate towards the conspiracy theories and all of those things that really, in some ways, invoke more fear.
They totally can. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, I wonder if they could get drawn into that. But that's okay. Great. Like, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, top sixes can be, these people exist, the prepper people, you know, they've got the bunker with all the food in it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like your friend with the gas mask and stuff. I mean, she's prepping in a way.
Yeah.
Do we need those people? Because we need to know. Because I mean, I can think of the worst case scenario that it can pop in my head, but I have no plan. For what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my friends.
I love the use of the word superpower, because something you had on your website, which I thought was so good, a quote you had on there that was like, the Enneagram does not put you in a box. It shows you the box you're already in and how to get out of it. This Ian Morgan Crone or Cron.
Yes, he's great.
Oh my gosh, that is the best quote ever. I mean, I mean, because that's what it is. It shows you the box you're in, and it's not to limit you. It actually, the more we become self-aware, really, the more freedom we actually get.
Yes, totally.
You know, we become freer, don't we?
Yes. I think it's Ian Cron. He's the one that wrote The Road Back to You, which is like Enneagram 101. So he's looking for a book. I'm not getting anything from this, but get his book. It's awesome. Especially if you nothing or little to nothing. It just lays it out for you. And it's a great read. It's simple to read.
That's awesome.
Makes all kinds of sense. So
that's great. Thank
you. Get that book.
Well, let's go on to seven.
So this is the entertaining optimist. And the thing that they're most fearful of not having is is being deprived, trapped in emotional pain, limited or bored, missing out on something fun. So FOMO, fear of missing out. That's their running motivation pretty much. So the thing they strive for the most, of course, is being happy, fully satisfied and content. And so their core weakness, or I guess they also mentioned sin, I think, core sin or whatever, that we all have one, but gluttony, and has nothing to do with eating.
Right.
It is feeling a great emptiness inside and having an insatiable desire to fill yourself up with experiences, stimulation, and hopes of feeling completely satisfied and content. So they're always looking for the next party, the thing, life of the party, and they know how to make things fun and exciting and comfortable and all the good positive things. Okay, so type eight, protective challenger. So they're afraid of being weak, powerless, harmed, controlled, left at the mercy of injustice. That's what they're afraid of. So they're going to be protecting themselves and those in their inner circle. So if you have an eight in your life, they're going to come to your aid if you need it for something, and they won't stop until they see you taken care of. It's a very big superpower. So lust is there, or lust or excess is their weakness. They're constantly desiring intensity, control, and power. They push themselves willfully on life and people to get what they desire. And that, that's when they're unhealthy, if all the weaknesses are kind of when you're not exactly at your best. But they will speak their mind. They will, if they see somebody getting bullied out on the playground, they're the ones that's going to go and help and make it stop. Because they don't like being bullied themselves. Top nine, peaceful mediator. Their core fear, though, is being in conflict, tension, or discord, feeling shut out and overlooked, losing connection and relationship with others. That's their biggest fear. Mm-hmm. And so what they always strive for is having inner stability and peace of mind. As long as they got that, they're good. Which, you know, you can't always have that, but that's what they're going for.
It is necessary. Peace of mind is necessary.
It's great. Yes. And then, of course, their core weakness is sloth. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean they're lazy, but remaining in an unrealistic and idealistic world in order to keep the peace. It's like, don't rock the boat, you know, whatever this person's wanting, we're just going to melt in with that and it's going to be fine. Even if it's the last thing I want to do, I'm going to do it because
right.
I don't want to rock the boat. That is them in a nutshell. I want to see people find their community, you know, find their people, but just make sure they've got support around them. Don't have to necessarily be me that's their support, but I need to make sure that they have it, so it helps as a counselor for sure, because I can't be everybody's, you know, anything really. But you know, just, you know, who's your go-to? Are you in a small group, you know, are you attending church and a small group? It's like that's your life, that's your people.
Yeah,
so that's kind of how my wing kind of is. And
well, one of the things that I also, you know, I mentioned around the whole, some people have different thoughts about the Enneagram if you're not, if you don't understand it, and especially I would say Christian people, many, I mean, what I'm discovering is a lot of Christian people don't know about the Enneagram, but I do think that then some who maybe see it, they get a little nervous and they're like, oh my gosh, it looks like, you know, when you see the little, image of all the numbers, you know.
It's scary. It does look scary.
So how do you help, what can be said to help Christians specifically overcome, you know, their, you know, resistance I guess to the Enneagram?
So there's lots to be said, I think. But let's just talk about the Enneagram itself, the actual drawing with the nine numbers. Mm-hmm. So all it stands for, I think it's Latin, I'm pretty sure. So Ennea is nine, just the number nine. And then Gram is just a drawing, just how it's laid out. So that's all that is. It's nothing else. Don't try to add anything into it. That's all it is. It's a drawing with the numbers. That's all it is. So let's see, the way I reconciled all that, because I had the same thoughts. I mean, I have a psychology degree and a master's in biblical counseling. So I had to, you know, meld that together as well. You know, one of the sayings that my daughter always says is eat the meat and spit out the bones. So that means take the things that, you know, your personality is God given, you're made who you are by him. And it's, you know, God has personality as well. So that's not in dispute, I don't think. Maybe it is. Maybe some people think it is. But so the way I made peace with it is I looked at who was into the Enneagram, teaching it through the gospel lens. And then I found your Enneagram coach. And it's just one long word, your enneagramcoach.com. And I looked into her stuff. And she just helps people see who they are and then how to grow to who God made them to be. That's her whole basis of why she's doing what she's doing. So that's who I got certified through, because I thought I can totally use this with my counseling for people who are not afraid of it, you know. And even if they are, I don't have to say I'm using it. I can just use it, because it's like, some people will just tell the things they do and why they do the things. You're like, okay, well then you're a type this. And so I can help you get from there to here, kind of a thing.
I love that. And one of the things I think that helped me to see the biblical when, I mean, because I probably had a little bit of like, okay, now wait a minute, what is this? But of course, what did help me was I was in seminary and I thought, well, if they are offering this to us, it has to, It has right. to be okay. Even definitely. Though some people might disagree with that. But but the fact that they have in, if you wanted to go, I guess if a person really, and I have this book, if a person mm-hmm. really wanted to get super, super deep in the is Enneagram, the wisdom of the Enneagram by, who is my little granddaughter as the Riso and Hudson.
Yes. Yeah.
Covered my names. But anyway, where it talks about the nine passions.
Yeah.
Are equivalent to the deadly sins, which I thought, okay, well, that's good. That kind of goes mm-hmm. with the Bible, you know, which kind of helped.
It definitely does.
It does give you an idea. I love that it gives you not even just the passions, but then it gives you what you need to be looking for. And I didn't get to that page, but I think like the six, because I was looking at the six at one point, it was like you needed courage, you know, so you needed to be, because you're so afraid, you want courage or something like that. But that is the thing, that those nine passions made me mm-hmm. go like, okay, this is in line with scripture in that we do all have mm-hmm. a passion, you know,
that we deal with all the time. Yeah.
That totally. We're dealing with. So, you know, and I still believe that, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think this could be harmful. Anything that mm-hmm. gives us more insight to who we are can't be harmful, you know, is how right. I look at it.
And yeah. I think as long as that leads us to rely on God more, because we see mm-hmm. all the things that are problems for us, all the yeah. struggles that we have that are just in there, they're just at our core,
yeah.
pushes you to God and like, you know, help me yeah. to grow and transform yeah. me. Who you want
yeah.
me to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that is so important. And that was one of the things too, even when I was looking on your website, which is paulahollingsworth.com.
That really
did strike me again with the biblical, because you use the mm-hmm. Zephaniah passage, which is so
it's my favorite.
Beautiful. For the Lord your God is with you. He is living among you. He is mighty. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Like, I was like, oh, Zephaniah 3:17. Like yeah. that, you know, again, that is what it's like. I think the more we know our types and we discover how we are, maybe have been formed in some mm-hmm. ways, and what's holding us back, mm-hmm. that maybe it helps us to tap more into the truth of the Zephaniah 3:17, mm-hmm. that God is with me, you know, in mm-hmm. this, that he loves me. He's rejoicing over me, you know, because
yeah.
in all of those fears, he can help me overcome the core fear. Mm-hmm. You know, he can help me, you know, and I think that people are walking around not knowing these things, and mm-hmm. they're not living the life that God really intended. So I guess as we get ready to kind of start wrapping up, mm-hmm. tell us, where should a person start, you know, mm-hmm. who is really interested? You've already mentioned one book, and I've mentioned another, but maybe there's some books or some resources they could go to. They definitely listeners, you definitely need to go to her website, paulahollingsworth.com, and check that out. She's got a nice video out there, interview, but I know that's one place that they can start, but how else can they start?
So I would start with Ian Cron's book, The Road Back to You. It's just like a, Enneagram 101, first thing mm-hmm. to read, I think. He also has a podcast. It's called Typology, just the way mm-hmm. it sounds. And he will interview people. Some people are kind of famous and you'll recognize them. And in the notes, it'll tell you what type they are. So you can just kind of listen to all the types that you think you might be, and just mm-hmm. you can figure it out that way. Your EnneagramCoach.com, I would go. She has a lot of free info. She has some mm-hmm. things, you know, that you should pay for as well, but she's got a lot of good free information. I'm on Instagram as well, and I share something like every Friday. It's kind of when I'm on there, so I don't bombard everybody. But
What's your Enneagram?
Enneagram is Enneagram Coach Paula.
Okay.
And that'll find it. One thing I want to say, I got this book sitting beside me, and it's one of those eat the meat, spit out the bones book. It's called The Sacred Enneagram. Mm. And there's a chapter in the back, and it's called The Way Home. Mm. It says mapping the nine types with new ways to pray. And they're not new ways, but they were new ways to us probably. So I'm going to give you yours just as a little helpful thing at the end.
Thank you. I love it.
So the way home for type four is to rest in solitude. So your prayer posture is solitude, which, you know, the Bible tells us get alone in your closet and pray. But your prayer intention is rest.
Mm.
And it's usually those two things usually are the things we struggle with the most to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you will do them, you're going to get before the Lord in solitude. And that's hard to do sometimes, I know. With the intention to rest, not to work, but to rest. And that's when he's going to speak the most, I think.
Your prayer?
My prayer posture is stillness.
Mm.
And the prayer intention is rest. So yeah, same thing. This.
Oh wow!
I will try to be still, because you need to be still when you're praying, and that's, you know, still your body, your mind, the whole thing. And then I can just like glance up and see something, and it's like, you should go over and fix that. That's, you know, that's not right. Something's wrong. You need to go do that. You see all that? Yeah. You got to do that. It's just, yeah,
yeah.
Constant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to be still. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that. Again, we can take this wisdom. That's wisdom, you know, and we can apply it to our faith, you know, because there's scripture that says be still in,
yes,
you know, Psalm 46
and rest.
Yeah. And rest, you
it's
know.
In there too.
Exactly. And so that's why I think, you know, it's so important for us to know our type, because we can just learn so much about ourselves that can help us to grow and to become more of who God created us to be and to carry out. I feel like that a person's purpose is. The primary purpose is really that we are all an expression of God's love in the world.
Yes.
And I feel like these types basically give us insight into how we can be an expression of God's love, but also what is holding us back from being an expression of God's love. And so that's why I just think, you know, the more we know, it can only be helpful, you know, as long as we remember that quote, that incredible quote about, you know, it's not to put us in the box, it's so we can find out what box we're in and get out.
How to get out. Yeah.
How to get out of it. Because so many people are living in a box. I do want to make sure, you know, so they can find you on Instagram and go to your website.
Yeah. Facebook too. It's Paula Hollingsworth, Enneagram Coach.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to go to my website at www.joycelynlewis.com, where you will receive a free gift just for joining our email list. Be ignited.